Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. Okay. Good evening, everybody. Were you blessed by the worship?
Yes.
Let's give the Lord a big hand, please. Amen. Anybody here for the first time tonight? Welcome. Welcome. Yolanda. Apparently you had your sugar levels tested. Just tell us again, how much is it?
5.9.
5.9. Amen. As the song says, our God is an awesome God.
Amen.
Amen. Our God is an awesome God. I had an interesting chat with somebody before we started this meeting. And I actually would like to talk about that just a little bit. You know, sometimes spiritual things are difficult to comprehend. Sometimes spiritual things are difficult to understand. In fact, the Bible tells us that spiritual things must be spiritually discerned. Who can tell me what that means? Can anybody tell me what that means? Spiritual things must be spiritually discerned? Yes. Well, to a certain extent, yes, but you mustn't use your understanding to understand. So here's the thing. When it comes to spiritual things, your mind is probably going to be your enemy. Because your mind is going to tell you, oh, but that can't happen. Oh, but that's not right. Oh, but that'll never work. Your mind tells you that you can't walk on water. But when you are equipped by the Holy Spirit to do so, you can. Your mind tells you that you've got cancer and you're going to die. But if God touches you, you will live. Amen. There are a lot of things that doesn't have to make sense for it to work. Can you explain the creation? No, you can't. There was this guy, I believe his name is Darwin, that tried to understand it with his mind, and he came up with the theory of evolution, which is what a lot of people tend to believe today, rather than believing in the Word of God. You see, here's the thing. There is power in the Word of God. There is no power in your mind. Your mind will get you into trouble. The Word of God will set you free. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, here's the truth. Up here, most of us just have a bunch of rubbish. But God, He has truth, He has life, He has love, He has signs, He has wonders, He has miracles, He has healing, He has restoration. He has all of that for us if we choose not to focus on this too much and follow this, our hearts. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. What is the opposite of truth? It is a lie. Where do we get the lies from? Well, yes, there you go. The Bible says Satan is a liar. He is the father of lies. He abides not in the truth because he has no truth within him. And he was a liar from the beginning. So here's the thing. Satan has an agenda. Satan's agenda is to get us to believe in lies. I want to ask a question. Do we believe in lies within the church? Okay, I'm going to ask the question again. Are there lies being perpetrated in the truth, in the church? I want to give you a scripture. I'm going to read to you from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4. We're going to just read verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Right, let's talk about that. In the latter times, the Spirit clearly says. Now, how many of you believe that we might be living in those days? A better translation would probably be, in the last days, the Holy Spirit says that many will abandon the faith and follow teachings of demons. All right. Who are we talking about here? Who are we talking about here? Are we talking about Satanists? No. We're not. We're talking about believers, because you can't abandon the faith if you did not have the faith to start off with. And this is something that I want you to understand. This is a warning, not for the Satanists, not for the prostitutes, not for the child molesters. This is a warning to look at your neighbor and say to you. Yeah. This is a warning to you and me. All right. I asked you the question, what is the opposite of truth? And we said the opposite of truth is a lie. Then I asked you a question. I said, do we have lies in the church? And you said, yes. How do we prove it? Because the scripture tells us that in the last days, which is today, this is the time we're living in, many will abandon their faith. Listen to me. You can't abandon something that you do not have. So in order for you to abandon the faith, you must first be of the faith. And what do we say for somebody that is of the faith? We call them a Christian. We call them a believer. All right? Now, here's the thing. They will abandon the faith because of teachings of demons. Where do those that believe in God go to receive teaching? Ah. So where are the lies going to come from that's going to push people away from God? Oh. Now, that's a scary thought. That's a scary thought. Now, here's the thing, my friend. Whether you like it or not, the Word of God is warning us that you should not just believe everything that you are taught. You have a responsibility to also check for yourself whether what they are teaching you is right or wrong. Now let's talk about God. Does the church accurately portray God? Okay, I'm not talking about every church. But let's just agree that there are many churches out there that are not accurately portraying God, because they are telling us that we serve an impotent God. We serve a God that used to do things for people, but today he doesn't do that anymore. For some weird reason, he's decided, I've worked hard enough, I don't have to heal people anymore. I've cast out too many demons, I've reached my quota. Listen to me, God is not on strike. MTN is on strike. God is still operating and God is still busy. And God doesn't have blackouts because Eskom doesn't power him. God is powered by the Holy Spirit. The power of God is infinite. Now, the reason I'm talking to you about this is I want you to understand why we battle to experience the power of God. Because a lot of us put faith in lies, not in the truth. And where do we get these lies? We get it from the church. You know, when I was downstairs and we were busy preparing for the meeting, we speak about a couple of things. And when we pray together, me and my team, and one of the things we spoke about is, one of the reasons why people go after rubbish, and by rubbish I mean false gods, I mean witchcraft, spiritism, sorcery, Satanism even to a certain extent. Why do people get involved in that type of stuff? People that come from a church background. They get involved in that type of stuff because they can't find the answers that they are looking for in the church. Do you know how many people I have prayed for over the years that in some way backslid and got involved in bad things because the church that they went to either could not or refused to help them with the problems that they were going through, and many of them clearly and blatantly spiritual problems that needed to be dealt with spiritually? A couple of years ago, probably about 5 years ago, I was invited to be a guest speaker at a pastor's seminar. There was over 200 pastors in attendance. I'm not going to say what church it was that invited me. Let's just say that it was one of the big churches in this country and worldwide. And I was invited to be a guest speaker at this church pastor's conference up in the Northern Transvaal, and I was asked to speak to them about the reality and the existence of curses, demons, etc., etc. The reason I was invited is because the head of their seminary attended one of my meetings where she saw me cast demons out of people, and it freaked her out. And then she decided that it's probably time for some of her people to realize this as well. Here's what happened. I spoke the first night on understanding demons, the working of demons, and specifically curses. Because the people up there deal with this stuff a lot. How many of you know we live in Africa? And it's called the Dark Continent for a reason. Because people here in Africa can get up to a lot of nonsense. People like to go to witch doctors. People like to mess with the occult. People like to use witchcraft and sorcery to get ahead in life. Georgie, am I lying? He knows exactly what I'm talking about. Now here's the thing. I was speaking to 200 pastors and their wives. And then I said, if you would like to stay for prayer, if you believe that you have been affected by this stuff, then please come forward. I was busy till 1 o'clock in the morning casting demons out of the pastors and the pastors' wives. Let me just tell you that for me to say to you that that rattled their cages is an understatement. I don't think they've yet recovered from what they saw happen there. And then I started speaking to some of these pastors, and you know what? Here is the sad reality. They used to take their parishioners to the witch doctors when they perceived them to having spiritual problems. Why? Because within their framework of understanding of how God operates and works, and I'm not saying they're right, I'm just saying that this was the unfortunate reality, there was no way from a Christian point of view to help these people. If they got problems with the tokolos or with demons or something, then they must go to the witch doctor because he works with that stuff. Can the devil cast out the devil? Jesus said Satan does not cast out Satan. Now if you want to cast out Satan, you need more power than him. If you have, let's put this in a way that we can all understand. If you have a 325 BMW on this side and you have a 325 BMW on that side and they're both exactly the same, you tie them with a piece of strong cable together and you try and pull the one away from the other, what's going to happen? Nothing. Why? Because they got the exact same amount of power. You'll break both of them, but you're not going to get anywhere. But if you take a 325 BMW on this side and you put a brand new M3 on this side and you now try and pull the one, what's going to happen? The more powerful one will dominate the other one. The only way for you to get demons out of people is to come with a power stronger than what they originate from. Satan cannot cast out Satan because his power is equal. One demon will not remove another demon, but the Holy Spirit has infinitely more power than any demon, and he can, by speaking one word or one touch, get that demon to go. Yet that doesn't take away from the fact that these pastors were taking people that they believed had spiritual problems to the witch doctors to sort out their issues. What does the Bible say about that? It is the responsibility of the believer. It is the responsibility of every disciple of Jesus Christ to help those that are in bondage to Satan, to satanic works, to evil spirits, to curses, whatever the case might be, and we are supposed to help them to come to a place of being set free. And if you can't do it yourself, then you take them to somebody that you know, or you take them to your pastor, but you at least help them on the right path. Amen? Now, this was one church. How many other churches are there that do the same thing? Or that do similar things? I asked the question, are there lies being perpetrated in the church? Yes, there are. Because the scripture says, in the last days, many will abandon the faith and follow teachings, deceiving teachings of demons. And the only place that you find teachings, if you are a believer, is in the church. And what the Word of God is warning us is that there was going to come a time, and we're living in that time right now, where there's going to be a lot of teachings that, whether you realize it or not, is going to start pushing you away from God and pushing you towards demonic things. And that time is now. These things are happening right now as we're living in this age. Many people are leaving the church. Can I tell you why? Because people are being told that you must just live with your problems. That's just the way God made you. Do you know how many people have told me that's just the way that I am? This is just who I am. No, that's not who you are. God didn't make you a pedophile. God didn't make you an alcoholic. God didn't make you forgetful. And yeah, that one was good. God didn't make you that way. Do you understand? God didn't make you full of rejection. God didn't make you full of hatred, full of bitterness, etc., etc. But God can put you back to the way that you're supposed to be. And the devil can't do that for you. You see, when you run to the devil, here's what happens. Let's just talk about that. Satan doesn't cast out Satan. Satan just swaps the problem around. One demon doesn't have to cast out another demon. He just says to that demon, listen, yeah, from now on, this person expects to be healed. We are not going to give them migraine anymore, but now they are going to have all sorts of other problems. Their teeth are going to rot. They're slowly but surely going to start going deaf. They're going to have horrible indigestion. They're going to have constipation. They're going to have ingrowing toenails and serious piles. And the list goes on and on. You still want to go to that witch doctor? I think not. Probably you should stay away. Are you now cured from wanting to go there? Okay, good for you. You should be. But the fact of the matter is, God's word is not lying when he says that in the last days many will depart from the faith. If we teach people that God no longer heals, if we teach people that God no longer does signs, no longer does wonders, no longer does miracles, if we teach people that God is impotent, then people that know that God has a spiritual problem will go to the other side to go and find a solution. Now I want to ask the question, is it really that person's fault? Yes, to a certain extent, it will be their fault. But isn't it the teacher's fault that taught them wrong? There's a lot of churches that one day will stand before God and have to give an account. You know, the Bible says we should not all desire to be teachers because we will be more severely judged when we stand before God. And when you choose to teach people, you better make sure that you teach them right, because if you teach them wrong, you're going to get a hiding of note one day when you stand before God. Because you see, here's the thing. When people sit under your teaching, they look up to you and they take what you say seriously. And if you teach them in a way that pushes them away from God, then you're going to get the hiding. Because God wants you to draw people unto him, to give them the teaching and the truth to build a foundation for their life so that their life can prosper and go forward and that they can bless God for it. Not that they can start falling by the wayside and turn their back on God. Because that's what lies do. Lies bring destruction. Teaching people that God doesn't do this and God doesn't do that and God doesn't do that anymore. Listen, yeah, we serve the same God that Moses served. We serve the same God that David served. We serve the same God that Jesus operated in his power. We serve the same God that the apostle Peter and Paul and John served. And if he did these things for them, why is he not going to do it for me? If they could put their faith and their hope and their trust in him, then why can't I? Who's somebody out there to tell me that God doesn't do this anymore? Where you find that stuff in the Bible? It's not biblical. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did back then, God can still do today. The problem with today is today we don't have faith anymore. Today we really don't have faith anymore. We don't believe. You know, the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 11, I think it's verse 20, that Jesus then began to denounce the cities in which he did his greatest miracles because they repented not. Listen carefully. Jesus began to denounce the cities in which he did his greatest miracles. In other words, these cities saw with their own two eyes the blind eyes open. They saw the dead rise and come back to life. They saw leprosy healed before their very eyes. They saw demons come out of people. They saw the Gadarene demoniac, a man with so much demonic power that he could break chains. and break fetters as if they were nothing. A man that 10 men could not bind and control. Be set free with one word from Jesus Christ. They saw the cripple walk. They saw the mute speak. They saw the deaf hear. They saw water turned into wine. They saw a man walking on water. They saw all of these signs, wonders, and miracles, yet they repented not. Jesus denounced them and he said to them, it'll be better for you on the day of judgment than it was for, it'll be better for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than it will be for you. Because you saw all these things and you did not repent. But people still came and listened to Jesus. Today people just don't care. I want to say something to you. If Jesus was to stand in the average suburb today, the words that he spoke back then will be Mickey Mouse compared to what he would have to say today. Because today it's 10 times worse. Back then, people at least accepted that it was Jesus that healed people. Today, when a healing takes place, people turn around and they say, oh, well, this is not God. It doesn't happen that way. Oh, no, God doesn't work like that. Today, people don't even accept the healings. Back then, they did at least accept it. They didn't repent, but they at least accepted the healings. Today, they don't repent and they don't accept the healings. Which one is worse? Today. So what I'm trying to tell you in a nice way is we're in the dwang. We need to sort that out. Number one, it's time for us to repent. And when I say repent, I'm not saying you must get saved because I do believe you're saved. But sometimes we must repent in the way we think. Because sometimes the way we think is not right. Can I tell you why? Because often the way we grew up, we were taught wrong from a small age. There's a lot of people that have gotten involved in rubbish because the way we were taught. I'm not going to talk about you, I'm going to talk about me. I grew up in a decent church. I grew up in a church where, to some extent, I was taught the truth. But I'm also going to say to you that I grew up in a church where, to a great extent, I was not taught the truth. And I'm not necessarily going to say that I was taught a lie, but there was a lot that I was never taught. And the absence of truth can turn into a lie very quickly if you don't watch it. Do you understand? There was a lot of areas where the pastors that I grew up under, they would never venture there. Maybe they didn't understand it. Maybe they just didn't want to go there. Maybe they didn't believe it themselves. I don't know. I can't speak on their behalf. But I can tell you something. There's a lot of things pertaining to God, the kingdom of God, and especially the working of the Holy Spirit and demons that I was never taught. They never spoke about that. In fact, I spoke to my one pastor many years ago. He went with me to a place where I gave a teaching on these things, and he came to help and cast out the demons and all of that type of stuff. And afterwards we were sitting having coffee, and I said to him, Pastor so and so, you've seen a lot of things now, and you know, you've experienced these things firsthand now. Now tell me, what were you taught about these things when you went to university? And he said to me, Rian, do you want the honest answer? I said, yes. He said, nothing. He told me, I spent 7 years in university and they never taught me this much about the stuff that we're experiencing. Yet it's in the Bible. It's biblical. It should be the foundation, part of the foundational truth that we all believe. But it wasn't there. They were not taught it. So how can they teach me? Then it's easier sometimes to say that that's rubbish. That's nonsense. Because then you don't have to deal with it. But according to Jesus, these things are real. According to Jesus, these things are pertinent. In the last days, says the Lord, many will abandon the faith and follow teachings of deceiving spirits and demons. The church is full of deceiving spirits. You know, Satan has figured out something already. Sometimes the way to conquer is not to put pressure from the outside, because that causes people to band together and stand together. Sometimes it's better to go inside and bring division, separation, confusion, doubt, heresy, false teachings, etc., etc., etc. Because that causes people to become impotent. And we can't allow that. So how do we stop that? Well, it's simple. It's time to get back to basics. If the Bible says it, it's time for you to say, I believe it. And that settles it. And when people want to come with arguments, you say to them, listen, yeah, the Word of God says, do not argue about religious matters, for it profits no one. There's no place for argument. This is what the Word of God says. Therefore, that is what I believe. And it's time for us to take a stand. You know, sometimes I'll give you an example. You sit and you talk to somebody that seems to know a lot. Like, let's say a pastor. Let's say you're sitting and you're having a nice chat with a pastor. And then the pastor says something that you know is wrong because with your own two eyes you've seen that what he's just said is wrong. What should you do? Should you compromise on your principles and like agree with him because, you know, he is a pastor, you know what, I don't want to step on his toes? Or should you just put your foot down and say, listen, yeah, my friend, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. This is the way it is. God expects us to stand up for the truth. The truth will set us free. And when people want to come to us and they want to argue with us and listen, yeah, God doesn't heal anymore. Listen, yeah, demons aren't real. Our Christians can't have spiritual problems because Jesus sorted it all out on the cross. It's time for you to put your foot down and tell him, listen, yeah, buddy, you don't know what you're talking about. Because this is how it is. If you don't stand for your principles, if you don't stand for what you believe, tomorrow you will be one of those following a deceiving spirit. When people come and they want to argue with you, you've got to put your foot down and say, no, that's not the way it is. If you don't have the relevant scriptures, you come to me, I give you the scriptures, you go back and you say, this is why I cannot believe the way you do. But if you want to argue with me, fine, let's just leave it for now. But you put your foot down because the devil has to know that you choose to stand for the truth. The more you entertain deceiving spirits, the quicker you're going to fall into the pit that they are in. And you know that I'm talking to you to a certain extent, right? For those people that say that this is rubbish, this is nonsense, this cannot work, and God doesn't do this, I want to say to you something. They are under a deceiving spirit. And if you tolerate what they speak into your life, you yourself will come under a deceiving spirit. God is not a liar. Amen. The Bible says God is truth. We have to take what God has done, we have to stand on it, and we have to be ready to fight for it. Amen? Amen. How many of you know that God is real? Amen. So if somebody was to come to you and say, God is not real, what are you going to say? You're going to say to him, listen, yeah, buddy, that's the way you want to believe. Fine. Me, I believe God is real. If somebody comes to you and says there's no devil, what are you going to say? Okay, let me shock you. One of the biggest church movements in our country, about 5 years ago, published a paper where they question the existence of a personal devil. According to them, there is no such thing. Yeah. They should come to one of these meetings and explain to us what's happening to these people when they get set free. But you see, that's the problem that we're living in. The truth will never make sense up here. But the truth makes sense here. Spiritual things must be spiritually discerned. Spiritual things are for ya. They're for your soul. They're for your spirit. They're not for your mind. I say this respectfully, but sometimes it's very difficult to speak to intelligent people. And if you are intelligent, I'm not trying to upset you. I just want to, in brotherly love, say to you that if you put too much faith in your mind, it becomes difficult for you to put faith in God. Very clever people like to have everything make sense to them. You must be able to explain it through science and through this and through that. My friend, the working of the Holy Spirit cannot be explained, finished and clear. There you're going to come short. If you insist on having it make sense, you're going to have to turn around later and say, this is rubbish. because it won't make sense. Spiritual healing, supernatural healing makes no sense, yet it works. Signs, wonders, and miracles make no sense, yet it changes people's lives. When the Holy Spirit comes into a place, a lot of things happen that can't be explained. Jesus said to the people, if you want to know whether something is good or bad, check the fruit. There's one, that's the best way to answer it. If you want to know whether what happened in a church was good or bad, what do? You say, you know what, I don't really exactly understand what happened there, but so-and-so had this experience and they say that this and this happened, let's wait and see what's going to happen. If there's fruit, the power of God moved in that place. If there is no fruit, probably it was just a show. But let's just say that when people come closer to God, when people repent of their sins, when people begin to live a holier life, when people give glory to God because of their healing and they manifest the fruit of healing, when people are clearly delivered because the satanic afflictions go away, then we have to acknowledge that there is fruit. And then we have to give glory to God for that. Jesus was once accused that the only reason why he could heal and do miracles and cast out demons was because he worked with Satan, or more directly, Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. And you know who it was that said that? It was the Pharisees. Who were they? They were the religious establishment of the day. It looks like religious people find it extremely difficult to believe that God can heal. They find it extremely difficult to believe that God can set the captives free. Yet the scripture tells us that that's why Jesus came. He came to set the captives free. He came to heal the brokenhearted. If Jesus came to do it 2,000 years ago because he knew that people needed it, what makes you think that today he's changed his mind and we don't need it? Raise your hands if your heart has been broken somewhere in the past. Raise your hands if you got some weird sickness, infirmity, problem, epicorner, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so people needed it back then. People probably need it today. The devil will tell us God can't help you. The devil wants to tell us God can't help you because then he's going to go and, but I can. No, he can't. Like somebody there said, he's a liar. He won't help you. You'll make your problems worse. He'll take your problem that's this big and make it so big that it's going to crush you. And that's what happens to a lot of people. Many years ago, I met a dear old soul. Here is her story, and probably then I'm going to end off. She was about 74, 75 when I met her. I believe her name was Mrs. Peterson. They did a story on me in one of the local newspapers. They did a thing about Satanism, and back then I was working with a lot of Satanists. They came and interviewed me. They wrote this in the newspaper. She phoned the newspaper to ask them for my telephone number. The newspaper actually phoned me and asked for permission to give my number to this lady. I first asked what was it about. And then the editor of the newspaper gave me a bit of background, and I said, that's fine, give her my number. This woman was plagued by an evil spirit. She had this demon that had been with her for roughly 50 years. She was in her early 20s, newly married, moved down to Durban. She didn't know anybody there, and then one of the ladies from the block of flats that she lived in invited her for a get-together, an informal get-together of friends. And she thought to herself, that would be a nice way to meet the people, you know. She was invited for cook and tea, let's put it that way. But when she got there, she got a lot more than she bargained for, because the woman that invited everybody viewed herself as a clairvoyant or something to that effect, and she was going to have a seance. And for those of you that don't know what that is, a seance is when you call, summon spirits and allow the spirits to speak through you. And so this poor woman, when she got there and she saw what this was all about, she was like, ooh, this is not good stuff. She didn't know that much, but she knew enough to know that this is probably not good. But she knew nobody, and she didn't want to offend anybody, so she sat. And whatever spirit came into this woman spoke to her. Can't remember what it said to her, but the spirit was like, there's things going to happen in your life. When she left the party and she got home, she walked into her front door and she started hearing this massive noise. She thought, oh my goodness, we are under attack, because it was this banging noise. When she got into the kitchen cupboards were going bang, 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 bang by themselves. There was nobody in the kitchen. As if that wasn't bad enough, all the cups started flying out of the cupboards, breaking against the opposite wall. That's when you know that you know you're in the dwang now. Yes. She did go to church. She went from church to church to church, hoping somebody could help her with her problem. Most churches did not even believe that what she was telling them is possible. When I met her, she was 70-something years old. She spoke to her local pastor about this stuff. He told her she must be crazy. As a Christian, she can't experience things like that. It's impossible. He told her she's not lekker. Then she read the article. She said to herself, if this man works with this stuff, he must know what I'm talking about. She phoned me. I went to her house. She told me a very sad tale of somebody that was in the wrong place at the wrong time. A demon attached itself to her life. And a lifetime of going to church produced no fruit of healing or deliverance. Which is just sad. So we spoke. She got delivered. It took her 50 years to be set free. But by the grace of God, she was set free. Two demons came into her life that day. Two really bad demons. These things used to hurt her at night. They used to suffocate her at night. They used to throw her out of bed. She really had a horrible life. She's passed away now, as far as I know. But can I tell you something? She passed away peacefully. Because Jesus had mercy on her and set her free. Because Jesus came to set the captives free, even though the churches that she attended told her that this was impossible. Do we preach rubbish in our churches? Yes, we do. Unfortunately. This is the truth. Amen. This truth will set you free. Amen. Probably it's time for us to deal with some lies, heresies that we picked up over the years. Sometimes because of the church we attend, we start getting a picture of God that is contrary to the way He reveals Himself in Scripture. And that's why a lot of people don't experience God. Because the way they were taught and who God really is far removed from one another. We call it ungodly beliefs. A lot of people have some very ungodly beliefs pertaining to God, who God is, what God does, what God is capable of. I want to end off by saying to you that God is still the same. What you read in the Bible can happen today if we have faith and if we build our life on a foundation of truth and not lie. If you believe a bunch of lies, yet you want to come to God and expect Him to do things for you, don't be surprised if nothing happens. Because lies bring destruction, not healing, not deliverance, not salvation, just destruction. And then maybe God needs to set us free. Amen. Did you learn something tonight? Give the Lord a big hand, please. Here's what I want to pray for you tonight. Please just give me a second and just listen. All of us come from some background where to some extent our life has been tainted by lies. Either lies based on what some Christian brother or sister told us, this is the way they see God. God can't do this, God can't do that, that's not right, that's off, that's funny, that's weird. Or the church denomination or congregation that we attended, the way the pastor spoke, the way the pastor taught, etc., etc. We don't always realize it, but what comes into us will enter our hearts and can sometimes cause problems for us. Your eye is a gate. Your ear is a gate. What enters through your eye gate and what enters through your ear gate will eventually end up in your heart. And that sometimes causes big, big problems when God is trying to help you later. Because these things cause strongholds. And that brings doubt. That brings confusion. That brings unbelief. And God is the only one that can help you. Now, the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Here's the truth. Can I use you as an example? You come from a Catholic background, am I right? I'm not saying Catholics are bad people, but I want you to know something. The Catholic Church propagates a lot of lies pertaining to Christ, pertaining to the Holy Spirit, pertaining to Mary, pertaining to the apostles. Say again? Yes. But now here's the thing. She grew up a Catholic. From a young age, you were indoctrinated that this is how it is. When you go on a road trip, you pray to this one. When you're going to get married, you pray to that one. When you go to the toilet, you pray to that one. Okay, probably I'm exaggerating. But the fact of the matter is, now that is part of your spiritual foundation right now. So there's a whole bunch of lies in her foundational makeup. And what happens when the foundation is not solid? What happens when the storms come and the foundation is not solid? The building begins to crumble. Now here's my question. Have you dealt with all of these things? Probably not. I don't know. You know, it's not like I look at her and there's a meter on her head, 50%, 100%, 80%. I don't know, but God knows. Now, here's the thing. There's probably stuff that needs to be sorted out. I'm sure there are some ungodly beliefs that defy the truth. Yes. And the NG Church. And the Hervormers. And the Gereformeerde Kerk. In fact, there is not one church that probably does not to some extent bring problems into people's lives. Because that's the truth. You know, sometimes some pastors will preach their opinion to you, but not biblical fact. That's not a solid foundation. Is it? No, it's not. The truth. So now, here's what I want to pray for tonight. Yeah? You can? Yes. Yes. So all of us, at some point in time in our life, have been exposed to lies. But remember, these lies are, the devil is very clever in the way that he lies. It doesn't look like a huge big lie. There has to be a component of truth to it, otherwise you won't bite. Does that make sense? But now you start biting, and you take the truth mixed with the lie, and you might not be clever enough to realize what's happening. Now, 20 years later, you got problems. You're trusting God for healing. You're trusting God for deliverance. You're trusting God for a breakthrough, and it doesn't come. Why not? Because this thing is stuck inside, and it needs to be dealt with. So here's what we're going to pray for tonight. Tonight, I'm specifically going to pray against the spirit of deception. Because that's what it is. The Bible warns us that in the age that we live in, we will be to a large extent deceived and follow teachings of demons. Now, I don't know what you were exposed to. And no, I'm not trying to say the pastor that you grew up with was a Satanist or anything like that. But I want you to be aware of the fact that there is erroneous teachings out there. And the more of this we've received, the more difficult it is for us to come in line with where God wants our life to be. Because the lie and the truth inside you start fighting with one another. And your life is in turmoil all the time. You have no peace. So it's time for us to pray about that, and it's time for us to get that away from us. Can I use you as an example again? Let's just say, how many saints have you got in the Catholic Church? Okay, how many of these saints do you have to pray to for certain things? She used to pray to two saints. The Bible says they did, but she used to pray to them. You used to put faith in them, didn't you? Where you should have put faith in Christ, you put faith in them. So in other words, in certain areas of her life, she turned her back on Christ and followed deceiving spirits. Is this going to come back to you? For sure it will. And so most of us, if we had time, we could sit and we could go and delve, but we've all received things that's not accurate, biblically accurate. And the reason the devil brings these things into us is so that it can cause problems for us later. Because he wants us to depart from the faith. You know, there are many people that sit in church, and even though they want to receive good teaching, they just end up being confused all the time. They can't follow the teaching. Can I tell you why? You were exposed to a lot of lies, and the moment you were exposed to those lies, when the truth comes, the lie rises up to fight the truth. And all you get is confused. I don't understand. This makes no sense. Why does this preach so difficult? No, we're not preaching difficult. There's something inside of you that doesn't want you to hear the truth. Because the lie already has place in your mind. So tonight I want to pray for you to be set free from that. Amen. Tonight we want to ask God, anything in your foundation that is not good and shaky must go. And if you mean business, and if you come to God with the right heart and the right attitude and everything, you will see what God will do for you tonight. And probably some of you are going to feel completely different when you leave here tonight. Amen. 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 Amen.